From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to this special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss, sitting in today for Tony, and so glad to have you on board with us. When I say this is a special edition, I am underscoring the word special. I believe this could be one of the most significant programs of the year for us here at Washington Watch, and you'll see why as the program unfolds. We are not going to be discussing today breaking news. Instead, we're going to share with you an extremely timely message, a speech that Tony delivered last week at the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner fundraiser at the Muskegon County Republican Party in Michigan. It was an incredible speech, and the message is something that needs to be heard by every one of us, particularly on this Memorial Day, but far beyond that as we go into this upcoming election cycle. Now, we're going to be getting into all of it here in just a few moments, and I want to set it up for you, what we're about to hear. But before we do that, I've got a couple of housekeeping matters that I want to be sure that we all are on board together with and that we're all working together. As you well know, this week, the World Health Assembly is taking place in Geneva, Switzerland. It's a week-long gathering, and member states of the World Health Organization will be voting on the so-called pandemic agreement, which is a blatant power grab by the Biden administration that he's allowing it to take place. It could really threaten our national security and our national sovereignty. Well, it's not too late for you to tell Washington not to let the Biden administration cede authority to the World Health Organization. So for information how you can help do that, you've got two options. You can go to frcaction.org/WHO. Again, that's frcaction.org/WHO. Or you can simply text the word WHO to 67742. That's WHO, which of course stands for World Health Organization. Text WHO to 67742. And earlier this month, the House of Representatives passed the Israel Security Assistance Support Act. This, of course, rebukes President Biden for withholding weapons from Israel for their war against Hamas. We all know Israel should be able to count on the United States to deliver the weapons that they need to fight for their survival. The Biden administration is simply playing politics with the fate of Israel and the Middle East, and we simply cannot allow this to happen. So we're asking you to also sign this petition, FRC's petition, calling on the Biden administration to stop delaying these weapons shipments to Israel. And again, you can do that by texting frcaction.org/aid or text the word aid to 67742. All right, now let's get into the program, the direction we're going today. I want to begin by just sharing comments from John 15:13. That's a very familiar verse that we all know. It says, a greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, of course, we understand that Jesus was referring to his upcoming death on the cross when he made this statement. Primarily, that's what he was talking about, where he voluntarily laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. But he was also challenging his disciples and followers to follow his example in laying down our lives for others. Well, certainly here in Western civilization and here in the United States in particular, we have a history over 247 years where American men and women have given their lives to a cause greater than themselves, the cause of liberty. And for that, we are extremely, extremely grateful. We would not have the blessings we have in this country without it. So on this Memorial Day, we remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. But I want to transition and share with you that there is another war taking place, another battleground, a battleground that Tony mentioned specifically in this speech that I want to share with you. It's a battleground that is under attack these days for the sake of life. Our founders gave us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And unfortunately, we're having many within our own party it seems, walk away from the issue of life these days. And simply, that is something we cannot afford to allow to happen. So I want to share with you portions of this speech that Tony gave at the Muskegee County Lincoln Day Dinner. A powerful, powerful message. We want to begin with some of his early days when he was running for office in Louisiana. And we'll be back in just a few moments. But catch this powerful, powerful speech from Tony Perkins.
I can tell I'm in the right place when the silent auction actually has shotgun shells. Wow, it is great to be here. It's almost like being at home in Louisiana. I really feel at home here, very comfortable, grateful for the focus on faith, family, and our freedom. That's why we're here. You know, I shared this earlier with the group. I spent about a decade in public office. I've been out, so I'm actually a recovering politician. I'm on that 12th step. I'm on the 11th step. I'm almost there. But I never thought about politics as a profession. The Lord called me to preach at the age of 15. I've actually been preaching since I was 15 years old. And now the Lord called me to preach in nursing homes. Now, little did I know that was preparation to work with Congress. I mean, I have found that both crowds are hard of hearing and very slow of moving. I was sharing earlier about how we need, I saw all the candidates here. Thank you for being here. I know you could be out campaigning tonight, but this is where you get encouraged when you're with like-minded people. And I remember when I first ran for office, I was running against a 20-year political veteran in Louisiana for the State House. And I was out in August knocking on doors, and it gets pretty hot. If anybody's ever been to Louisiana in August, a little warm. We get these afternoon rain showers, and I had gotten wet and was knocking on a lady's door, and I knocked on the door, and this elderly lady came to the door, and I handed her my push card, you know, with my picture on it and my platform. And she took the picture, and she stared at it. She looked at me. She said, "My, that picture sure flatters you." So I understand. Give these guys a break, these guys and gals that are running for office. It can be a very, very tough business. Well, I can tell you I was very pleased to be able to accept the invitation from this part of the great state of Michigan. Many of you may not know, but West Michigan has been home for decades to the National Distribution Center for the Family Research Council, just down the road in Holland, Michigan. So I often visit there, and there's no place more patriotic and faith-filled in America than right here. So thank you for defending those values. Now, as Tim mentioned, he actually had a couple people call me about coming here to speak tonight. And one of them asked me as he called, I assumed he was creating a little pressure because I don't actually do a lot of these speeches. He said, "Are you willing to come and speak to a great group of patriots?" So does that describe you? Yeah. He said, "Tony, do you believe in the Declaration of Independence?" Well, I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Do you believe in the Constitution?" And at this point, I thought maybe he was trying to give me a litmus test. And I responded, I said, "I have dedicated my life to two things, and they are connected. The truth of God, which sets men free, and our republic, which is founded on that truth." Then he said to me, are you for the First Amendment and free speech?" And I said, without hesitation, I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, good. I need you to come and give a free speech in Muskegon, Michigan." Well, while my speech tonight is free, the issues I want to address come at significant cost. Now, I would be lying, and I doubt you would believe me, if I told you that we are living in the rosiest of times. The stresses on America, both internationally and domestically, are immense. We face the brute reality of war in Ukraine, which could easily spill over into a NATO country, drawing us into a war in Europe. Middle East is more volatile than any time since the founding of Israel 76 years ago. There are grim warnings from some of civil war here at home as the cancel culture seeks to silence and even eradicate the voices they disagree with. Political invective has become personal and ugly, even among friends. Now, with that sobering backdrop, let me remind you, and I speak here tonight not just as a conservative Republican, but more importantly, as a Christian and a follower of Christ. We never face challenges without the hope and promise of victory. Amen. These challenges we face, they have been entrusted to us. God has entrusted this moment in time, which I think is one of the most significant timelines on the timeline of human history. He has entrusted it to this generation. We have no reason to fear the difficulties we face, because as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is our moment, if we will embrace the challenge. Now, there's a lot we could talk about tonight, but I ask you to indulge me tonight about a topic that has become hard to discuss these days. And many political leaders are doing verbal gymnastics to avoid talking about an issue that has been, is, and will be a defining issue for our party and for our nation and for Western civilization. 2 years ago, next month, the Supreme Court reversed the calamitous 1973 abortion decisions, those rulings that led to the taking of nearly 63 million unborn lives. But what should have been the fulfillment of decades of efforts to heal the blot on our Constitution and our national conscience has become a flashpoint of conflict. In the past 23 months, tens of thousands of infants have been saved in pro-life states, but perhaps 2 million more have lost their lives because of the Biden administration and the abortion industry combining to end all pretense that abortion is about health care and have begun promoting do-it-yourself abortion through the mail. We now have more abortions performed in this country through the abortion pill than any other means. And the Biden administration is fighting to send that to every state and every place through the mail. The Dobbs decision has given America a second chance, an opportunity, if you will, to repent of a horrible wrong. The Times call for a new campaign for life, but instead we see sign after sign of a retreat among our fellow Republicans on this defining issue.
All right, that was Tony Perkins speaking last week at the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner in Muskegon County in Michigan. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss. Following the break, Tony will be back with more, discussing specifically how we cannot back away from this issue of life. He'll share some American history and human dignity and all that's at stake. Stick around.
It begins here, and here, and here. Every day. Before you stand, you need solid ground. Standing in a culture that wants you to surrender the truth won't work unless you have a firm foundation. At Family Research Council, we have that firm foundation, and you can find us standing. We stand for the value of all human life. We stand for the right of families to flourish. And every day, we stand for your freedom to believe and to live out those beliefs, both at home and abroad. We work with government officials, educating them on the issues from a biblical worldview. And when necessary, we hold them accountable. We equip Christians across America to be informed and to take action in their communities. With our daily radio program, television appearances, and vast online presence, we reach people where they are. We envision an America where all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. And that won't be realized if we're not standing. Stand for faith. Stand for family. Stand for freedom. Stand with us at FRC.
All of us are born with the desire to find truth and meaning. Where did I come from? What happens when I die? While our answers to these questions may divide us, we are united in our need for the freedom to answer life's biggest questions and make life's biggest decisions for ourselves. That's why religious freedom matters for everyone. Religious freedom matters because the powerful have long wanted to control those who are less powerful. Religious freedom matters because the freedom of those who are different is often threatened by those who believe different is dangerous. At the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, we promote religious freedom for everyone because the only alternative is religious freedom for no one. We encourage Americans and the American government to engage and advocate for the persecuted, and they do. We work every day to bring good news to the afflicted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We do it because that's what Jesus does. We work to give freedom to others because we ourselves have been set free.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council. Glad to be sitting in today on this special edition of Memorial Day. And let me remind you, this is an extremely critically important message that you're about to hear from Tony Perkins, and you can catch it and pass it on to others by going to TonyPerkins.com, TonyPerkins.com. All right, this is coming from a Lincoln Day dinner fundraiser at the Muskegon County Republican Party in Michigan, where Tony spoke last week. And you heard a moment ago earlier his early days running for office in Louisiana. Well, now in this next part, Tony is going to be talking about the Dobbs decision specifically and how that has given us a second chance to repent of the GOP's retreat from the life issue. It's amazing to me that we have so many walking away from this issue. So stay tuned for this. Tony is going to go back into American history to examine some other pivotal times when human dignity was being debated. Here's Tony Perkins and what he had to say.
The Dobbs decision has given America a second chance, an opportunity, if you will, to repent of a horrible wrong. The Times call for a new campaign for life, but instead we see sign after sign of a retreat among our fellow Republicans on this defining issue. And now there are rumors and reports of an organized campaign to weaken or even remove altogether from the GOP platform language that insists every boy and girl in the womb deserve a right to life. And having written a large portion of the last two platforms, and having once again been elected to serve on the platform committee from my home state of Louisiana, I'm actually involved in those conversations right now. And I'm hopeful, if we will be clear about our convictions, that we will end up in the right place. But I want to be clear about that tonight. The right to life transcends other political debates and the interest of any and all political parties and candidates. It is truly the right without which no other right has meaning. It is fundamental to who we are and to who we will become. In his last speech before his death in April in 1865, Abraham Lincoln said this: important principles may and must be inflexible. at this Lincoln Day event, please don't mistake my words for being partisan. Advocates for the sanctity of human life want all political parties to embrace what our founders declared as the first among the rights with which we are endowed by our Creator. On this, we must be inflexible. We must not yield to the voices, the temporal voices of the hour. We must stand firm on this understanding that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This Lincoln Day event is a fitting occasion to reflect on what one political party in history did right, and now how it risks getting it wrong. And it is fitting to go back to the very beginning of the Grand Old Party nearly 170 years ago to understand the stakes that loom here tonight. All of us are familiar with the high drama of the mid-19th century. The turmoil that would divide a nation first divided the political parties of that day and actually gave birth to new political parties. The focus of the debate was not at first slavery itself, but the extension of slavery into the territories of the rapidly expanding nation. The times compelled America's representatives to take a stand. Many did so at odds with their political party that brought them to office. But they were driven by principle and not by politics. One of them, Pennsylvania Congressman David Wilmot, was first elected as a Democrat in 1844. 2 years later, he stood on the floor of the House of Representatives and offered what became known as the Wilmot Proviso. The proviso set the condition that no addition to the U.S. territory resulting from the Mexican War would permit either slavery or involuntary servitude. Well, Democrat Lewis Cass replied with the idea that became known as popular sovereignty. He wrote of this idea to a colleague, quote, "Leave it to the people who will be affected by this question to adjust it upon their own responsibility and in their own manner," end quote. This manner of dealing with a matter of profound and universal significance, leaving it to one segment of the public or a state to determine whether other men could be owned as property, frankly should sound somewhat similar or familiar to our ears right now. Thus was laid out the core debate between Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln, between the Democratic Party and the newly forming GOP. Now, Wilmot reemerged in time as a Republican. In 1856, the newly formed party met in Philadelphia, the birthplace of the Declaration of Independence. The convention adopted a platform that tracked the text of the Declaration, then proceeded to make its application clear. It said this: "It is both the right and the imperative duty of Congress to prohibit in the territories those twin relics of barbarism, polygamy and slavery." Think about that. The twin relics of barbarism. From the very beginning of the Republican Party, they were concerned with the moral questions and rejected the idea that these were merely matters for local debate and resolution.
Well, that was Family Research Council President Tony Perkins speaking last week at the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner fundraiser for the Muskegon County Republican Party in Michigan. You're tuning in to Washington Watch. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss. And today is a special day. We are broadcasting content from Tony's speech. It was a timely message for our entire nation right now. And again, if you happen to miss any part of it, you can certainly catch it by going to our website, tonyperkins.com. Now, here's what I want you to catch from this. As we come back from the break, we're going to be hearing some more of Tony's speech, and specifically as he's going to examine American history on the issue of human dignity and how it was being debated in the early days of the GOP's founding. Specifically, when we get back, we'll be talking about women's suffrage and that movement, and how during that time they were led by women who decried abortion as the ultimate exploitation of women. So much more coming your way We'll be back in a moment.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. So glad that you've joined us. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at FRC, and honored to be filling in today for Tony on this special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. Today we're broadcasting special content from the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner Fundraiser at the Muskegon County Republican Party in Michigan. Tony was a special guest speaker there for the event. And he's giving us a powerful history lesson, examining some pivotal times in American history where human dignity was at stake. Well, in this next part, Tony's going to continue his examination of American history, and he's going to move on the issue of women's suffrage in that movement. And you may not know, but that was led by women who decried abortion as the ultimate exploitation of women. Well, now more than ever, we need to hear this message, as so many within our own party and our own movement are beginning to back away from this. You don't want to miss what Tony's about to share. Here he is.
In 1856, the newly formed party met in Philadelphia, the birthplace of the Declaration of Independence. The convention adopted a platform that tracked the text of the Declaration, then proceeded to make its application clear. It said this: "It is both the right and the imperative duty of Congress to prohibit in the territories those twin relics of barbarism, polygamy and slavery." Think about that. The twin relics of barbarism. From the very beginning of the Republican Party, they were concerned with the moral questions and rejected the idea that these were merely matters for local debate and resolution. 4 years later in Chicago, in May of 1860, Wilmot was among the first to take the floor of the Republican Convention. Speaking of the reigning Democrats, he said this, quote, "A great sectional and aristocracy or interest has for years dominated with a high hand over the political affairs of the country. That interest has rested and now wrestling all the great powers of this government to one object of the extension and nationalization of slavery." He went on to say, "It is our purpose, gentlemen, it is the mission of the Republican Party and the basis of its organization to resist this policy of a sectional interest," end quote. Wilmot went on to cite the Constitution and hailed the Revolutionary era, saying that the founders, had they thought, and I quote, that they were called upon to endure the hazards, trials, and sacrifices of that long and perilous contest for the purpose of establishing on this continent a great slave empire. Not one of them would have drawn his sword in such a cause, end quote. To the delegates gathered in that windy city, these were not mere catchphrases. They weren't tweets. They weren't sound bites. These were real issues. They weren't eclipsed by issues of commerce and taxation, because these were the core issues. They understood these issues were the embodiment of the ideas and the ideals of Washington and Jefferson. They were the very reason that the party existed. And the reason was no mere, to use Wilmot's expression, sectional interest, meaning state by state. It was the principle that all men are created equal and that governments exist to protect their inalienable rights. Now, tonight, we could spend hours discussing the history that followed these events in the 19th century. Now, I know I'm from Washington, but I'm not given to filibuster, so I'm not going to spend hours. For my purposes here tonight, I will only note that our republic developed rapidly in that era, and the direction was almost uniformly toward protecting fundamental, natural, God-given rights. The century saw the abolition of slavery and the adoption of 3 constitutional amendments to ensure its eventual demise. The century saw the rise of women's suffrage. Events, an ever-growing body of scholarship shows, was led by women who decried abortion as the ultimate exploitation of women. The 19th century brought another band of progress, the great waves of states acting to protect unborn children. These policies were advanced and adopted not by extremist or Christian nationalist or whatever slur of the day that they might use, but by the newly formed American Medical Association. These forces converged in proposing and ratifying the 14th Amendment in 1868. In fact, I urge all of you to take a kind of a fresh look at the scholarship of people like Professor Robert George at Princeton and John Finnis at Oxford. They are persuasively arguing that the 14th Amendment's guarantee of due process and equal protection apply to human beings as persons at all developmental stages, prenatal as well as postnatal, and at all conditions. Some of you might say, hey, well, that's nice, that's good, Tony, but what does that have to do with the 21st century and the role of the parties in our legislature today? I'm glad you asked that question. My answer is very straightforward.
That was Family Research Council President Tony Perkins speaking last week at the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner Fundraiser in Muskegon County in Michigan. You're tuning in to Washington Watch. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss, a Senior Vice President here at FRC. And today we're broadcasting content from that speech he gave. And just by way of reminder, if you miss any portion of it, you can get it at tonyperkins.com. And we also are sharing a link there of how you can tell Republican Party leaders to stand strong on this life issue. And we want you to do that and help us. Now, after the break, we're going to hear more from Tony as he talks about how the Democrat Party has been wrong on this issue for over 150 years. So stick around. We'll be back in a moment.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, You help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in him through his word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
And welcome back to Washington Watch. So glad to have you joining us today. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss, sitting in for Tony today, but we are sharing some special content that Tony gave at a speech last week at the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner Fundraiser in Muskegon County, Michigan. He was the special guest there. And before the break, we saw where Tony was dealing with the issue of human dignity and how that was being debated in the early days of the GOP's founding. Before wrapping up, Tony started diving into how the Democratic Party has been wrong on the issue of human dignity for over 150 years, and how the GOP has been the party of life. The GOP needs to continue being the party of life. So here's Tony with more of this powerful speech.
I urge all of you to take a kind of a fresh look at the scholarship of people like Professor Robert George at Princeton and John Finnis at Oxford. They are persuasively arguing that the 14th Amendment's guarantee of due process and equal protection apply to human beings as persons at all developmental stages, prenatal as well as postnatal, and at all conditions. Some of you might say, hey, well, that's nice, that's good, Tony, but what does that have to do with the 21st century and the role of the parties in our legislature today? I'm glad you asked that question. My answer is very straightforward. It has everything to do with it. Let's begin with the stark reality of the world as it revealed itself in the 20th century. For all the progress in science and technology, and we can debate whether that includes the invention of the cell phone, the internet, the Barbie movie. The 20th century was unparalleled in the development and the use of mass violence. There were two wars, two world wars, dozens of smaller conflicts, the Holocaust, the Armenian Genocide, the development and dropping of two atomic bombs, the H-bomb, and long-range nuclear missiles. The millions of victims of Stalin and Mao. There was also something new to humanity, the top-down imposition of coercive population control, beginning in China but spreading worldwide. If Republicans were right about slavery, how should we respond to this latest manifestation of a dismissive view of human life? Well, the start of the 21st century has seen the emergence of a related issue. It is surprising that once man is free to end the life of a helpless child in the womb, he will then turn to the weak, the elderly, and the vulnerable who are outside the womb. To find our way forward at this 21st century, we only need to look back to America's debates on slavery, the ones I mentioned before. The Democratic Party once embraced popular sovereignty, which held that issues of profound significance, such as slavery, were private decisions for the plantation owner and his state. Does that sound familiar? The Republicans of those days passed the 13th Amendment, ending slavery, the 14th Amendment, providing that no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law, or deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws, and the 15th Amendment providing that the rights of citizens to vote shall not be denied or abridged on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. The Democratic Party was wrong then, and its ideology of privacy has been wrong for the last 50 years. To see abortion and assisted suicide as merely matters of private conscience is a cynical misreading of American history and a threat to the foundations of our American Republic. I have said at the outset that life is not a partisan issue. We would, of course, like to see the party of Lincoln stand firm on what it has held as a matter of principle since 1856. We'd like to see it do so because it is the right thing to do. And the party's pro-life position has brought it more and more support from young people, from African Americans and Latinos. The pro-life position is a position that has brought life to the party. In the first GOP platform to be written after Roe v. Wade in 1976, the Republicans took a stand, and they wrote this, and it's remained there to this day. Let me quote from the platform. "We protest the Supreme Court's intrusion into the family structure through its denial of parents' obligation and right to guide their minor children. The Republican Party favors a continuance of the public dialogue on abortion and supports the efforts of those who seek enactment of a constitutional amendment to restore protection of the right to life for unborn children." That's been in the platform since 1976. In 1980, the GOP took another and even bolder step. Ronald Reagan was engaged in a nip-and-tuck primary contest with George H.W. Bush. To salvage his campaign, Reagan sought to resolve a controversy over his signing of a liberal California abortion law in 1967 by sending a strong letter of commitment to pro-life leaders. What happened? They responded with endorsements, and Reagan marched to victory. Once again, Michigan was actually at the center of this drama. The action then moved to Detroit, where a triumphant Reagan selected Bush as his running mate and crafted a platform built on the 1976 language, unifying the party. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Reagan defeated Jimmy Carter handedly. Carter, for his part, was deeply uncomfortable with his party's position on abortion. He supported the Hyde Amendment. In 1984, the GOP platform took another massive step forward, going beyond endorsing a constitutional amendment and actively asserting that the Constitution, properly understood, already protects unborn life. When it said the unborn child has a fundamental individual right to life which cannot be infringed. We therefore reaffirm our support for a human life amendment to the Constitution, and we endorse legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to unborn children. Now, from that point forward, the Republican Party platform has not only consistently affirmed the unborn child's fundamental individual right to life, it has actually expanded its language to include issues from adoption and defunding of abortion providers to opposing cloning and supporting federal protections for infants born alive after induced abortions. Likewise, abortion has not stood alone in these platforms because the issue is transcendent in other ways too. Attacks on human life have led to some of the most egregious assaults on the family and on religious freedom and conscience. And to these, the Republican Party has consistently and vigorously said no. And as the last four decades have shown, when these principles are celebrated, when they are embraced, the grand old party prevails at the ballot box. When the messaging or the candidate deviates or muddles these principles, failure is assured. Look at the results in 1996, 2008, and 2012. What are we to think of Republican leaders suggesting that the party reconsider its stance on the sanctity of human life or a constitutional amendment to protect the unborn? A commitment that this party has had for nearly a half a century. That the Republican Party, for the first time, may sound the retreat on this core principle. Well, in such a situation, the alarm cannot be sounded too soon or too loud. We, champions of the God-given right to life, are under no illusions. The ravages of the sexual revolution are all around us. Today, as was mentioned earlier, we're even debating whether mutilating the bodies of children in vain attempts to change their sex is a good thing. Somehow, that children can choose whether they're male or female. Shame on us as a nation. Under these circumstances, standing for the sanctity of each and every human life is hard, but it is essential for the future of our republic. Important principles may and must be inflexible. Now, I understand this is a challenge, and I know that here in Michigan in 2022, the ballot initiative showed that that's a challenge. All I can say this is this. We are not doing this for ourselves. We are seeking the protection of law and public policy for the most vulnerable among us, the unborn, and for their mothers who maybe did not expect to be pregnant or did not expect the man in their lives to reject them when they got the news. Our call is to pray, to stand, and vote for justice. It's the hard way. It's the way of the cross, but it's what we've been called to. Justice is never won easily. The fight for justice is never time limited. The fight for justice never expires. A single presidential election settles a country's policies for 4 years, but our nation's policy on the right to life is timeless. In fact, I would argue it's eternal. Like millions of conservative voters and activists, this is the issue of life above all others that drew me into the world of politics 3 decades ago. For us to abandon this now, to adopt a platform, for our party to adopt a platform that declares this issue is of no national significance, that leaves the unborn completely exposed to dismemberment, cardiac injections, and poisoning in the womb, that sets the stage for a national policy of abortion on demand at taxpayers' expense by a Democratic majority, would be a tragic decision of historic proportions. We must declare, not on our watch, not on our time. After all is said and done, what is being asked for us? As I see it, it's no more than this, that we be faithful, to not fear, but to respond in the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. As I was preparing this talk tonight, I came across a compelling document commissioned by the Michigan legislature and published in October of 2015, titled Michigan in the American Civil War. It detailed the response of this state to the crisis in the Union, when that issue of slavery had divided this country. At the height of the conflict, there was a quarter of the men in Michigan were in uniform. The 1st Michigan Infantry Regiment departed 163 years ago this month, and its purpose was to go to the Capitol and defend our nation's capital. On its arrival, Lincoln looked, saw that it was from Michigan, and said, "Thank God for Michigan." Well, compared to the sacrifices that those before us have made, again, I say, what is being asked of us in this great contest for life? Being faithful to what we know to be true and what we know to be right. Luke, the great physician, records Jesus' words, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such of these." Tonight, right here in Muskegon, Michigan, let us rededicate ourselves to this battle for true freedom, the freedom that celebrates life and refuses to be silent while it's being destroyed. Over the next 3 months, the battle will play out over a single document within the Republican Party, the National Republican Party platform, but its object and its prize are really the soul of a nation. Let's stir the spirit of the American people, of every party and every persuasion, to rediscover the gift of life and our duty to uphold it in every sphere. My friends, I leave you with this tonight. We must be inflexible on this important principle of the sanctity of human life. Our future as a party, our future as a nation, depends upon it. Thank you, and may God bless you, and may God bring the increase to our efforts to uphold the sanctity of human life.
Well, that was Family Research Council President Tony Perkins speaking last week at the 2024 Lincoln Day Dinner Fundraiser in Muskegon County for their Republican Party in Michigan. I'm Jody Heiss. It's been an honor to be with you on this special edition of Washington Watch. Again, if you missed any portion of today's program, you can catch it by going to TonyPerkins.com. And friends, your voice is critical. Don't forget, the World Health Assembly is meeting this week, and you can make your voice known by texting the word WHO to 67742 or going to frcaction.org/WHO. And also, in support of Israel, we want to make sure aid goes to Israel, and you can be a part of that, again, by texting the word aid to 67742 or going to frcaction.org/aid. All right. This message today from Tony Perkins is one of the most powerful. There are rumors out there that many within our own party are walking away from this issue of life. Folks, this is the issue. It is the paramount issue of the day. It is the paramount issue of our country. We cannot walk away from this. And on this Memorial Day, as we remember those who have given their lives for us, we must lay it down for future generations. Thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch. We'll see you tomorrow.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.